man. This aircon is racist.
I've never ever been a spy.
Can the PBS bank loot?
The problem is that Pinky.
I'll never subject myself to white men. I'm listening.
Can you have consistency, Honorable Chair?
Corruption was an Olympic sport. They will always win gold.
This is not a shit.
Sergeant at arms, can you please come in?
Point of order.
Hello and welcome to another dose of your weekly political shenanigans with us here at the Sunday Times. I am Amil Amra and this is the Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. I'm joined in the studio this week by my colleagues here at the politics desk, Zingisa Mvumvu, Zimasa Matiwane, and Kwanita Hunter. Guys, thank you so much for joining me in studio this week. I think we've got a lot to talk about. There was a lot of news last week and over the weekend. We've got a lot to get to. So let's get straight into it. This week, EFF chairperson Dali Mpofu said he would be surprised if Julius Malema stood for another term as party leader. Mpofu, who was speaking to Power FM on Monday, when he said that Malema could be re-elected for a final term at the party's upcoming elective conference in December, but didn't foresee him seeking another term after that. And I'm going to quote him now where he says, "Our term ends in December, and it's up to the delegates at the conference who will decide which leader they want, and if that means someone comes back, then someone comes back. If he's speaking about Malema, is re-elected in December this year, I would be surprised if he stands for another term. We need fresh ideas, we need fresh thinking. We can all play different roles. As I say, we are not stuck with titles." The thing is, guys, I can't imagine an EFF without Malema. He's paraded himself as the face of the party from its inception, their commander-in-chief. guys, can there be an EFF without Malema? And if not, where's Malema going to go afterwards? Because nobody really agrees with his ideology in the political spectrum in the country. I'm talking about the other political parties. What do you think?
Look, I mean, one thing for sure is that there is going to be a tight contestation in the EFF conference in December, as Dali is saying, they are electing new leadership. But I think his comments demonstrate that there is some sort of disagreements within the current leadership, of which Mpofu is the national chairperson. You'll remember that I think in their press conference just after the elections, in fact, just to say, I'm not surprised at all by those comments by Dali. In that press conference after the elections, one of the people that Julius had taken aim at, perhaps not even direct, was Dali Mpofu himself. Julius spoke about leaders that had too much on their plates and such had failed to mobilize convincingly for the voting of the EFF. And he made an example of where Dali Mpofu was deployed, which was the Eastern Cape, saying that he feels that they would have done much better if they hadn't deployed people who were caught up in a whole lot of things. And
But do you really agree with that? Because Dali is busy running all the EFF's legal battles. I mean, they need to pick their fights with what they want Dali to do, because Dali can't be fighting all their battles in court and still mobilizing for them on the ground. So it's pros and cons.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But I'm saying, I'm just trying to demonstrate that perhaps where this is coming from, this kind of talks from Dali Mpofu. Maybe I would assume that Dali took it personal as well. And again, at the weekend, at the sixth anniversary in Mpumalanga, Julius Malema again was on another attack, which my analysis points that it was directed at his deputy, Floyd Shibambo. Mm. So you can see with those, and Malema during that attack referenced to the upcoming conference, saying that the delegates must not appoint people who have hijacked this train yes. being the EFF, talking about people who are shapeless amoebas who don't know what they stand for, talking about people who because they are being praised, they take things to their head. And we know who often gets praised for being articulate and clear on issues of the EFF. That's Floyd Shibambo. So on that, I deduced that he was attacking Floyd Shibambo. So you can see that all is not well within the higher structure of the EFF. And it is interesting that 6 months, well, now we are like 5 months into their elective conference, that there is such talk, and that more people like Dali are opening up to talking about this, because we know the EFF to be very centralized in terms of its communication, in that whatever is communicated by their
leader, their CIC, turns out to be the rallying cause for everyone. But if you're going to have leaders like Dalim Bofu talking like that on their own, it should tell you something that not all is well in terms of who must
can we say? Can we say that Dalim Bofu pulled an ace?
Well, to a certain to a certain degree, I can say, and also I think it's good though in that it will open up democratic, debates within the EFF about who must take the party forward after December. In that, not everything must be centralized around.
So Dali said that he wouldn't be surprised. He looks like he's pretty sure that Malema will be re-elected for another 5 years, but he's not sure whether he will run again afterwards. But Zimbabwe, do you think there's anybody in the EFF currently who has the sort of strength to go up against Julius Malema in December?
This December?
Yes.
I think it's too late for that.
Yeah.
Look, ultimately, the EFF is going to get at a crossroads where they want, where they decide if they want to be an IFP, where they have the same leader since inception, or they want to be like other political parties where they are free and clear democratic processes. Yes. But with a leader like Julius Malema, I don't think it's going to be easy, even after the 5 years that commences in December. It's his baby. It's his life.
Yeah.
It's going to be very difficult to get rid of him. I don't see him leaving willingly. So it will either strengthen the party or divide the party when it does eventually happen.
And also, just to add, Amir, on Zimasa is correct. I also personally don't see the EFF surviving beyond or outside without Julius Malema. The EFF, much as it's got its own distinct policies which are radically left, but it doesn't escape the fact that it was built around this individual in terms of its public appeal, being Julius Malema. And Julius Malema, honestly, is the kind of leader whom I don't see playing a secondary role to the one that he is playing now. But also, you see, there are other talks, that keep on coming up and going about a possible return of Julius Malema to the ANC. I think that is also at play to a certain degree. I would like to assume that that is still within the cards, and I would like to believe that some within his circle may not necessarily agree with that particular stand of merging with the ANC. And I think that is going to be the cul-de-sac for the EFF, whether Julius Malema continues or he returns to the ANC. And when he returns, does he return with everyone else, or do the others remain behind and lead the EFF without him? As to whether they would make it without him, that's up for question.
The thing we've got to ask ourselves is that Julius Malema still is a politician. So if he were to be sort of outvoted in his own party, which he built up from the ground, where then from him? Because he wouldn't go to a second in command post. His political expediency would now basically be cut short. He would have to be promoted to a more senior level, and the only other senior place for him to go to is within the ANC. But wouldn't that be the ultimate example of being a flip flopper that he's been accused of?
Yeah, he's still young. Also, he's still very young. But I mean, he can already start a veterans league thing and lead it.
I just don't see it happening. I mean, to be honest, I don't see Julius Malema not leading the EFF anytime soon. Yeah. Well, despite Dalim Bofu's comments, I really, and besides, constitutionally, let's talk constitutionally. The EFF constitution, in terms of how many times one can run for a position, is as open as that of the ANC. And the difference between the EFF and the ANC is that the ANC, the only thing that limits the presidents to two terms is that their presidency is aligned with that of the country, and the country limits one to two terms. But the EFF is still an opposition party, and with that open kind of a clause that says you can run for as long as you want, I don't see anything barring, because you will have to come up with a constitutional argument as to why Julius Malema cannot run for another term. And if the constitution allows him, he's got every right to run as long as he wants, and I believe that he will run for that particular position for as long as he's within the EFF, unless that measure that is being spoken about do happen at some point in time.
So here's the big question about the EFF. Are there factions in the EFF, and is there anybody emerging in the party structures that would be able to take on Julius in the future?
their affections everywhere.
No, of course, but not. I've got to say, as to give it to the EFF, their factions are not very blatant.
Yeah.
As compared to other parties, they manage to sort of sustain it in their top structures, and it doesn't really fall out into the public, does it?
Yeah. No, definitely. One fact, again, that we cannot run away from, in terms of the centralization of communication within the EFF, as I say, it's always centralized. Who addresses the press conferences of the EFF all the time is their commander-in-chief. Yes, in fact, the title alone, commander-in-chief, it means he commands everything that happens. So I believe that, yes, there is some differences that appear from time to time within that top leadership structure, but I believe they always opt out for a negotiated, compromise within the leadership itself. I would like to believe that the other person that would have the potential to contest Julius Malema, so to speak, even in terms of the views within the EFF, that would be Floyd Shibam. In fact, Floyd Shibam...
So we're not giving any credence to the ice boy?
No.
He's not there yet.
He's not there yet. But as I say, I believe that the only person who can challenge Julius Malema directly, even in their meetings, that would be Floyd Shibam, and to a certain degree, Dalim Mpofu. But... again, I believe Julius Malema and Floyd Shibambu complement each other very well. As Floyd has appeared to be the brains, the think tank of the EFF, the one who is able to articulate their policy direction better than anyone. Meanwhile, Julius Malema cannot be contested as the face who's got the popular appeal to the public. So those two, I believe, as long as they work together, it will be for the good of the EFF. The day they really fall out that they have to challenge each other, I suspect that would be the end of the EFF.
Okay, let's take a quick break before we get into our next section, where we're going to look into the story of the week. Now, remember to advertise on the Sunday Times Politics Weekly podcast. Please email us at smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. That's smiths@tisoblackstar.co.za. We'll catch you after the break.
Racial identity politics, a phrase that has the potential to start an argument in just about any situation. That's why we're starting it first. Let's Start an Argument is a unique and insightful podcast series about the meaning of race to us today. Presented by researcher Cecilia Koch and Doctor of Philosophy Jason Werbeloff, the series aims to spark rational argument and meaningful discussion around this controversial topic. Find Let's Start an Argument now on the Cliff Central app, cliffcentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. Now let's get back straight into our story of the week. Now we're going to take the story out of the Sunday Times front page this week. Juanita, it was written by you. The heading, the title is Ramaphosa Confronts Critics at Heated ANC Meeting, Warns on Spy Saga Raging in the Party. Now this obviously has to do with the ANC's NEC meeting, which happened over the weekend. And in this meeting, Ramaphosa is said to have thrown down the gauntlet to his opponents in the ANC leadership, daring them to try to remove him at the party's National General Council next year. Now, his challenge, according to Yusei, came at the end of the week of increasingly bitter conflict in the party between Ramaphosa's factions and supporters of President Jacob Zuma. Now, when he was delivering the political overview on the first day of the party's NEC, Ramaphosa is said to have told the gathering that he has a date with those who plan to use the NGC to oust him. He said, "Be my guest." This is according to an NEC member. So Ramaphosa is obviously throwing down the gauntlet. He's finally showing some leadership. I'm hazard to say the other word. So some courage. He's taking on the offense for once. Normally we see Ace Makashule coming out and driving the campaign from the other faction, but for once we see Ramaphosa sort of ramping up and addressing these issues. What do you think?
I think that it was a strong start of the meeting. These type of meetings now in the post-Nazareth era is that there's no one way things can go. It's literally, matter by matter, it can go either way. And so obviously Ramaphosa being under fire, being under intense attack from ANC leaders, on social media and in the public domain. And so he went there almost trying to set the tone to say, if you want to remove me, then, bring it on. But that didn't, I think it was almost trying to disarm his opponents. But I don't think it worked. And Mfumvu, you can come in here because if it were, if it was the case, if they were really disarmed or rattled in any way, the issue of Derek Hanekom wouldn't have been raised in the way that it was. We know Thandi Mahambetlala told the president, and she is a known Zuma supporter, told the president, or told the NEC, that the president must implement the public protector's report on Pravin Gordhan like he did in the Malusi Gigaba matter. So I do think that there was a push and pull between two sides trying to assert their influence or assert their viewpoints on the different controversial matters that was discussed by the NEC.
Sigisa, for me, this is sort of the first time that I've seen the president be very adamant and very strong about his position. He's normally very, as Zimasa said earlier, docile when it comes to his approach to the ANC and its leaders. What do you think?
Look, that's precisely correct, Amil. But I believe that now that the fight is directed at him as well, directly, not only those that are aligned to him, which has been the case most of the time, because there was really nothing to falter him for until, of course, the report of the public protector. So he can feel the heat now. And generally, the ANC is in tatters. Since Nazareth, people have been speaking from all angles. Yes, there's no central message as to the line of march of the ANC. But as Joe is saying, that he might have done that, but it doesn't seem to have worked. I mean, looking at the statement that the party released today, you see sort of that there was a couple of compromises. You'd see, for instance, with their stance now on the South African Reserve Bank, much as they say they will still continue with nationalization, but responsibly. You see, nationalization would be the ACE faction, responsibly would be the Ramaphosa faction. Derek Hanekom issue referred to the NWC to process it for further disciplinary measures, which again would seem like the ACE faction didn't really lose that fight completely. So, as Chu is saying, but I feel for the president, it might have been a good start to show that he's willing to fight, because that's the thing. In the ANC, you'll never survive unless you are willing to play deity, as is culture within the ANC. But the unfortunate part, all the time when the ANC factions fight, it is the grass that suffers. Who's the grass? It's me and you and the rest of the people. That's the sad part about this thing, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, of course, it was time that he took a stand, but also on the issue of the NGC, I truly don't believe that it is the platform where the president could be removed. In terms of ANC branches, the president recently put premiers, mostly provincial leaders of the ANC in place, those people that have control of PECs, regions, branches. Those are the people that are communicating a message. We know that we are not going to the NGC to remove our president. Okay. But also, Ramaphosa, I'm sure he knows that if there are people who want to remove him now, it would be... Who is his replacement in the ACE faction?
Good question.
Yeah, but so
he has nothing to lose.
Maybe it's ACE himself.
Not now. We're not ready.
As Andile Ngcitama said.
We're not ready. So It's good that he's taking a stand. At least he can be confident, you know, in knowing that, well, for the presidency of the ANC and the country, he may be the best guy that they have right now. And he does have support.
Sigisa, you went to the ANC's post-NEC briefing at Luthuli House on Tuesday. What did you make of it? What came out of it from the message from Ace Magashule, and what did it indicate that happened at the NEC meeting?
As I said, for me, it's just a bunch of compromises all over the place, almost on all issues. In fact, really, I think it's going to be tough for the ANC going forward, in that they first fight these things out in public, and then they go and feel each other's power within the NEC, and because of unity, which is what they've been preaching since Nazareth, thanks to DD, they end up meeting compromises. Seriously, there was nothing firm, even on the issue that I raised of the Reserve Bank. For me, now the ANC is becoming more confusing than ever, and I feel this is exactly what the the investors don't want, in that the ANC messaging keeps on changing. You see, now they change the tone. In fact, today, the nationalization is not the word that they used. They used to say the bank sovereignty must be returned to the hands of the people as a whole. And I asked, what are you talking about? Have we moved from nationalization? They're like, no, it's the same thing. But I'm like, why are you choosing this wording?
Yeah.
You see, it's these kind of compromises that I'm talking about. And I guess, really, it sends confusion and mixed messages, and it doesn't really assist because the ANC must have a stance. It must be known that this is what it stands for on various issues. And, I mean, with ANECOM as well, we don't know why would such a clear-cut matter still be referred to the NWC. NWC will still recommend to the same ANC which had an opportunity to make a decision on that issue right now.
Hmm. And, you know, the thing is, Zlingisa, is that the ANC is almost like painting this broad picture of what actually happened in the meeting when, you know, we know obviously what happened, and they try to dismiss media reports. But the reality of it is what comes out in that statement is actually not really what happened. If you just take the issue of Makura, David Makura, the Gauteng premier, he was instructed to effectively fire a male MEC and replace it with a female MEC because he did not fulfill the requirement of a 50-50 gender parity issue. And that's a big announcement, I would think. That's not an announcement, a big decision.
Yeah.
But when the ANC comes out, I don't know, what is it? The ANC is committed to gender balance, you know? Mm. So that kind of messaging. And then also, like, if you talk about the Reserve Bank, I mean, the president really went in on this matter. There was even, you know, an effort to call out Mzwandile Masina, who actually, you know, has been putting his hand in that pie, you know, for whatever reason one doesn't know. But then again, when the message is communicated at the back of the meeting, it's a bit confusing. And I think that there was an attempt to control what is reflected from ANC discussions by Ramaphosa and those around him. But I don't think, seeing what you're saying, Zingis, I don't think Ace Magashule was gagged in the way they thought he would be.
The ANC is like a coalition government.
But it's one part.
That's
the unfortunate thing. That's very, very unfortunate.
It's a mess. And, you know, guys, I'm tired of discussing it. Mm. I'm tired of reading about it. I truly, truly, truly wish that there was one slate that won in Nasrec.
Sorry for you, your political reporter.
Yeah. No, I agree with Zimas. I feel like
nothing is going to get done.
No, never.
Until there's an outright victory at a conference.
Yes. And that's 2022, my man.
So we've got a long way to go until then. Let's hope the country doesn't fall apart until then. Anyway, we're going to take another short break. Join us when we get back, when we're going to tell you what to expect when you're unsuspecting.
Guns. An essential tool in self-protection or a catalyst for criminality. CliffCentral.com presents Guncast, a podcast that unpacks the divisive issue of gun ownership in South Africa. Join legal expert Martin Hood as he hosts a series of talks with both sides of the gun lobby. Whether you support the right to carry guns or you believe they're a destructive tool that society could do without, Guncast will enlighten and challenge you in equal measure. Find Guncast now on the Cliff Central app, on CliffCentral.com, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. So another big decision that came out of the NEC was about its youth league. The NEC had made a decision to disband the ANC's youth league, and said it would appoint a task team to organize an elective conference no later than February 2020. So I'm guessing what we can do is we can look forward now to a lot of contestation around the leadership positions in the ANC Youth League. I don't really understand the reason to disband it. It wasn't really, in my view, functioning in the first place. So they've just disbanded it officially, but I can't remember the last time the ANC Youth League actually did anything worth talking about. Now, the interesting part is that the people who have been appointed to this task team, it's going to be headed by Thandi
I'm
going to fuck this name
up. Ask him who it's going to be headed by.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
So, Gisa, tell us a little bit about who this task team is going to be headed by and some of the members in this group. Is the ANC going with their whole unity notion and are they combining people from the different factions, or did one faction win outright here?
Mm. Well, as you say, very interesting developments. Amil, the national task team will be headed by Thandi Mohamed-Hlala in collaboration with Sibongile Pesani as coordinator and convener separately. And then there's a whole lot of other, you know, seniorship, you know, as it's become to, you know, the other ones were disbanded, were the eldership. So it seems now we have the seniorship, which is mostly people who have been in the youth league before. Malusi Kigaba has been the president of the youth league. Fakira Mbalula has been the president.
Yes, of course.
Lulu Johnson is one of the people that have been, and many other people. Dakota Lekwede is old, very old.
Yeah.
Well, I can't even remember when was last time he was there. So it's quite interesting. Amir, as well, that they decided to take that particular stance of actually putting in senior people to be part of this task team, despite the calls by the members of the NC League who had called for this disbandment, having been that it should be young people. But the reasoning of SGA's Makhashu on that one was on the basis that they don't want to put young people who may have interest of running themselves in that it will give them advantage. But also, it doesn't make a difference as far as I'm concerned, because this same seniorship can still
have proxies.
You know, have proxies,
yeah, exactly,
that they, you know, sort out to make sure that they image. So it really, also, I don't understand what they mean, they disbanded. I mean, Colin Maine is still there.
The whole
officials of the so-called disbanded NC Youth League are still there. Mm.
Exactly.
They just moved to the NEC.
And those people were the biggest, the disbanders had a big problem with that league.
Yeah, they were the defaulters. The Secretary General of the Youth League gets rewarded with a deputy minister position when he couldn't hold a meeting.
Exactly.
You had one job. Hold a meeting.
He can't do it.
Yeah.
And also, why do you put him back there? This guy now is a full-time deputy minister.
Yeah.
You still put him there. So I don't know really what was the thinking of the ANC. It seems confusing. And I can tell you, I suspect that there's nothing that's going to change in terms of whatever leadership that's going to emerge going forward, other than being proxies of some of these people who are, most of them are members of the senior National Executive Committee.
Mm.
Instead, but it, in terms of factions, it seems balanced. It will just be a matter of who's smarter in terms of putting in their proxies.
Zimasa, maybe you can explain this to our listeners. Why is it so important to sort of have control over the youth league? Does it hold any significance, and what significance does it hold to the larger organization? Because personally, for the last couple of years, it's just been a factional battle point.
Yeah.
But in reality, the way it's supposed to be, why is it so important for the ANC?
If you're an ANC leader who manages to fix who is in the leadership of the Youth League, both the officials and the NEC, then you have a group of young people who will be militant and radical when you want them to, who will take to the streets on whatever matter you want them to take to the streets for.
Mm.
So if there's an issue around the Reserve Bank and the NEC disagrees,
yes,
these are the people that
you can sponsor,
you can use to amplify your position that perhaps maybe you failed in the NEC because of this faction. So they are important. Well, important, for lack of a better word, in the top leadership for that. But also for the ANC generally, the ANC, when they don't have a youth league, they don't have a youth voice within the ANC, and they lack understanding of what the youth of South Africa want. I'm excusing the past ANC youth league because they were, very, very dodgy. But it's important that you have the structure and it functions for the good of the organization. You need it to be independent, but it hardly ever is independent.
You?
I think that you buy patronage when you have the youth league. So every time you need to make noise or you need to get support on a particular issue, it's like almost you rent a crowd immediate, you know, and this is within party structures. And I feel like this last, what Zimasa calls dodgy grouping, were rewarded the most than any other youth league before with positions.
Mm.
Because in the past, there would be, you know, one or two people that would be parachuted into the executive. But this time around, there were a lot of young people from the youth league that made it. And also, like I said, with the Secretary General, you couldn't call a meeting. Now you're a deputy minister. So it's actually, people who are vying for the position of youth league leaders, know themselves that they don't actually have to care about the youth league as long as they align themselves with a certain grouping. And I mean, you like, there's a picture that will never ever leave my mind of Ronald Amola in 2014, right? I mean, and that confidence was also as a result of this shambles, like almost worse shambles at the time, where I mean, there was an attempt to have a meeting, to have a conference. Zuma realized the numbers were not in his favor. He changed it into a consultative conference. Eventually, there was. So you understand what's at stake when you realize that if Zuma was going to have a Ronald Ramola as ANC Youth League president, his days would have long been numbered. That's why it was so important for the then Premier League to say, let's find a guy from the Northwest, even though he was overage, and parachute him in. But that's why. What's at stake?
Now let's talk about this Revive ANC Youth League movement. Now they issued a statement on Tuesday as well. Who are they and what are they saying?
Well, they are a bunch of disbanded.
But no. I was surprised at their numbers and the articulation on Friday as well.
Yeah. Look, this is a group of ANC Youth League members, or at least people who claim to be ANC Youth League members. Who have been at the forefront of advocating for what the NEC ended up doing at the weekend to disband the useless ANC Youth League executive, as was led by their president, Colin Maine. So they've been really pushing for that. As I said, the only thing that they didn't get was the fact that they had wanted this national task team to be led by young people. Hence, they are issuing a statement now rejecting it. And you see, I guess again, in terms of the seniors at the mother body NEC level, is not to succumb to that, is the fact that the way the ANC League has been so useless over the years, people no longer even know these kind of members. These are ANC League members, but you don't know much because there was not activity within the ANC League to know one in terms of where they are, which faction they align with. Therefore, maybe. You sort of first need to study who are these people, what do they align in, which faction do they believe in, before they can get blessings from the senior leadership of the ANC. But I guess only time will tell, but I don't see the decision of the ANC changing. They can reject it all they want, but I guess this is what they have to do with going forward.
Unfortunately, that's all the time we have this week. Thank you all for listening in, and thank you for joining me in studio, guys. Catch us again next time. We'll be back next week, Tuesday or Wednesday, with another explosive episode for you guys. Remember to follow us on Twitter at #STPoliticWeekly. You can talk to us on there. You can also find the link to this podcast on the Times Live website under the Opinions and Analysis page. Take care, guys. Have a good week.